Hello and welcome to our program. Today we continue in our series of Understanding the Times. Stay tuned. We certainly are living in interesting times, a time when things are happening all the time that are catching our attention. That's what it means to be interesting. But there are also difficult times, and there are times when there's a need for much effort to gain the discernment to deal correctly with the things that are happening around us. In the world, there's anarchy. That is a state of disorder due to the absence of the recognition of authority. In the Christianity circles, there's apostasy. That is the abandonment of sound doctrine. That's where we're living today. Well, we're living in an age, it's interesting, it's difficult, but I would like to ask the question, where do you stand?
Beneath the cross of Jesus, I fain would take my stand. The shadow of a mighty rock within a weary land. A home within the wilderness, a rest upon
There's a verse in the Bible in 1 Chronicles 12, verse number 32, that talks about understanding the times. It says, "The children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do." To understand, we must become aware of the right meaning of words that make up the sound doctrine that is presented in the Word of God. We can memorize all of that doctrine, but we need to have the right meaning. That is what God intended for us to understand, the right meaning of those words. We've been studying in the book of Proverbs, and we've talked a lot about this word, about understanding. And as we understand, we need to understand for a purpose, and that purpose is we need to face the facts, and we need to face the future. It is my responsibility to give out the facts. That's what I've done for many years in this ministry. It is your responsibility to choose what you're going to do with those facts. We look at Paul the Apostle, and there's two words here that we find in 2 Corinthians 11 and 3 that says, "I fear." Now, I didn't think Paul the Apostle was afraid of anything. Well, let's see what he was afraid of. He said, "I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus." Now, the dictionary says, The word simplicity means it's easy to understand. So it's not a problem that we have where the things that God is telling us to do are difficult to understand. Paul says, I fear lest by any means the serpent beguile you and that he corrupts your mind from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now, Satan is going to use the same methods on us as he did on Eve. And back in Genesis chapter 2, verse number 16, God said, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Well, a little later, when Eve was having a conversation with the devil, she misquoted that verse. She said, we cannot touch that tree lest we die. Well, first of all, God didn't say anything about touching it. And he didn't say, lest ye die, that she said in Genesis 3:3. God said, thou shalt surely die. Well, the devil's plan is, yea, hath God said? What he's saying is, you can decide truth for yourself. You can interpret his word any way you want to. Well, that was a lie of the devil at the very beginning when man fell into sin. And it's the same lie that he's giving us today. Psalm 11 and verse number 3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We have to do something. What do we do? Well, the important thing is we need to have an understanding of the age in which we are living. Concerning the world, the one word describes that. We've mentioned it before. That word is anarchy. The foundations are crumbling in the systems of the world. Concerning Christianity, one word will describe that, apostasy. The foundations are crumbling in Christianity and even in our local churches today. Well, what should we do in the face of crumbling foundations? We need to understand that prophecy is being fulfilled. As far as anarchy in the world is concerned, it was prophesied, Matthew 24. As far as apostasy amongst Christianity was concerned, it is prophesied in Matthew chapter 24. Read that chapter carefully. Well, what is our responsibility when there's anarchy in the world and apostasy amongst the Christians? Well, first of all, as far as anarchy is concerned, it's not our responsibility to fight it. In the book of Jude, the Bible says that we are to contend for the faith. It does not say we are to fight against the anarchy in the world today. That's not our responsibility. It's prophesied. It's going to happen. But Jude says we need to contend for the faith. As far as apostasy amongst Christianity is concerned, it's not our responsibility to try to change prophecy either. We are to contend for the faith, not to fight against the apostasy. Big difference there. We need to understand that prophecy is being fulfilled. Second, we need to understand what our God-given responsibilities are at a time like this. There's always been a remnant. We've mentioned that several times, and at the risk of being too repetitious, I'm going to mention it again. Go all the way back to when Noah got on the ark. There was only eight of them. There was a very small remnant. There was a very small remnant in Isaiah's day when he said, except for this very small remnant, we would have been as Sodom and we would have been as Gomorrah. And then we come up to when Jesus was born. Most of the people in Bethlehem and Jerusalem, the temple, didn't have a clue what was going on, but there was a small remnant. There was a few shepherds and a few others. And the Bible says that in our day, it'll be perilous times. We're going to have a remnant. Romans 12 tells us in this day, there is also a remnant. God has always had a remnant. Those who say, I'm going to stand true to the word of God. And if you listen to this program every day, you're probably one of those people in that remnant, if you care enough to listen to a broadcast like this, because we're dealing with the truth, and most Christians today don't want the truth. The remnant does. But the problem we have in our age, and what is our responsibility if we're part of that remnant? Well, in the world, it's anarchy. In the church or in Christianity, it's apostasy. And amongst the remnant, our danger is apathy. Apathy. The Bible says, and Jesus said it in Matthew 24, verse number 12, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Someone said about a church member. Two church members were talking one day, and one of them said to the other, have you heard that they say that there's two big problems in the church today? One is ignorance and one is apathy. And the other one said, I don't know and I don't care. That's it. That's apathy. Well, we need to understand prophecy is being fulfilled. We need to understand our God-given responsibilities at this time, and that is to contend for the faith. And we need to understand and respond correctly concerning our responsibilities. The little book of Jude is not by chance that it's placed just before the book of Revelation that tells us how all things are going to end here. The little book of Jude, it's only one chapter. It's only got 25 verses, but it tells us about how to handle things in an age of apostasy. In Jude 1 and verse 1, it begins saying, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Christ Jesus and called. Now it says they're sanctified. That means they're set apart for a special purpose. There is a reason that you are here in this world, and it is for such a time as this. It is not by chance. And so what are we supposed to be doing? God has put us here in this age of apostasy. If you have been privileged enough to be amongst those people who have taught you the truth, and you want to stand for the truth, then the Bible says that we are called. We are called. It says here that we are set apart for God and that we are called. Jude 1, verse number 1. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 1, Paul said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Now that word vocation has been translated calling 10 times. I don't like the word vocation as much as the word calling. Vocation sounds too much like vacation, which I think most Christians think we're on. He says here that we are to walk worthy of the calling wherewith ye are called. Now, the book of Ephesians is written to individual Christians. Some books of the Bible are written to the pastor. 1st, 2nd Timothy and Titus are examples of that. The book of Ephesians is written to individual Christians, and again it says that we are to walk worthy of the calling wherewith we are called. In Jude 1 and verse number 3, he says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now he says you should earnestly contend for the faith. Vine's dictionary on the New Testament says this word contend signifies to contend about a thing as a combatant. The word earnestly is added to convey the intensive force concerning contending. Now the word intensive that he used here, the dictionary says it is to be concentrating on a single area or subject. And so what is the subject? The faith that was once delivered unto the saints. And the particular faith that he is talking about here is salvation. In verse 4, Jude says, For there are certain men crept in unawares. They have been creeping in unawares. The Bible talks about certain men 7 times. The first mention of certain men in the New Testament is found in Acts chapter 15 and verse number 1. It says, And certain men taught the brethren, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. So at the beginning of the local church age, we find that someone is coming in and corrupting the plan of salvation. At the end of the local church age, we find here that Jude is saying, look out, you need to earnestly contend for the faith, because once again, in this age in which we are living, and it's running prevalent in even our so-called fundamental independent Baptist churches, where they're saying you don't need to worry about repentance anymore. All those preachers of the past didn't know what they were talking about, and apparently Jesus didn't either. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Well, you're not going to get a big crowd preaching a gospel like that. We got to dump that repentance thing or people aren't going to come. Well, they'll come and they'll vote for Jesus and join your church. And as I've said before, you can put the right information in a computer and it'll vote for Jesus, but it will not go to heaven. And so that is what is happening here again at the end of the local church age, as it happened at the beginning of the local church age. And how did Paul handle that situation? In Acts chapter 15 and verse 22, it says, Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them. Disputation with them. That word, it means to dispute. It means a disagreement that leads to an action of protest. We're living in this age when pastors today, never mind the wolves that are coming through the door, let's just keep the meetings positive and stay away from any issues. Pastors who are sitting on a fence like that ought to get out of the ministry and get an honest job. We're living in a day when Paul said, this know also, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Acts chapter 20, verse number 29. Now there's two types of promoters of apostasy. Both types are running rampant in this age of apostasy that we're living in today, and we'll look at them in our next program. Be sure and tune in. In the meantime, make this message in song your prayer.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me. Ready, my God, thy will.